Matthew chapter 16. The message today is the preaching of Jesus and the resurrection and the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified. I want to read several scriptures. They all have to do with this subject. Last week, it was about a question concerning a certain Jesus who was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And today we take up from there on the two areas that I just told you about. Let me read you several scriptures concerning this in Matthew 16, first of all. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised up. And Peter took him, and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art a stumbling block unto me, for thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men. This is the first plain mention of Jesus telling of his death and resurrection. Now in chapter 17, look at verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be delivered up into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised up. And they were exceeding sorry. Notice the announcement of the death and resurrection of Christ and the reaction among his disciples. That's what we're going to do. Consider the preaching, the announcing of the death and resurrection, and the reactions in the different hearts of those who hear. Now, John 11. John 11. Lazarus has died, and his sisters are heartbroken. And in verse 23, our Savior says, Jesus says unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord. Now, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We had Christ telling about his death and resurrection, the reaction that took place there. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God. Chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, Revelation chapter 1. John, the beloved apostle, has seen our exalted, risen Lord, and it says in verse 17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, how much thou dost tell us about the death and resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so thankful that you have recorded for us in the Scriptures the different reactions that took place in the hearts of men, even when your Son spoke of this death and resurrection. And thou dost know that a consideration of what happened to them can be a blessing to us and can cause us, our Father, when we hear of that death and resurrection, to react in a way that results in eternal life. And that is our desire this day. Thou dost know that apart from thy Spirit working in the hearts of men, this can never be accomplished. But that is why your Son has sent his Spirit from heaven to convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. And that is what we desire this morning. So in the hearts of those who hear and the lips of him who speaks, may thy Spirit work, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If I challenge you to show me in the Old Testament where resurrection of the dead is taught, where would you turn me? Embarrassing, isn't it? Until the Lord Jesus came along and started expounding where these portions were, then few, if any, knew about it. But finally, in the days of Christ, men and women began to know about it, because when our Savior spoke about the resurrection to Martha, to Mary, he said, "Thy brother shall rise again." She said, "I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." They understood then, even in Christ's time, somewhat about the resurrection, but they understood very little about the resurrection. And who was the source of the resurrection? And the Lord Jesus explained it to Martha. But concerning this resurrection, so vague was it that unless you had the mind, the discernment of Jesus Christ, I do not believe that you could ever find it where he found it. In Exodus chapter 3, when the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush, he said to Moses, he said, "I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob." That's all it took to reveal the resurrection. And when the Sadducees challenged the Lord, he said, "God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, because he said unto Moses, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Therefore, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are not non-entities. They have not died and returned to dust, and that's the end of them." But the Lord Jesus said that the Father, when he spoke of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as being the followers of God, he is their God. The Lord Jesus said, that is resurrection. So notice that in Christ's time, the resurrection was taught, it was known, but it says that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in angels, and they did not believe in spirits. Now, isn't this a sad thing? As much as you read from the very first book of the Bible about angels and spirits, and as much as you read about God raising the dead in the Old Testament, it said the Sadducees set it aside. They did not believe in it. How could this be? This is what I found. That when you speak to men about the resurrection, it is a strange thing. Unless the Spirit of God opens your mind, illumines you, you will never understand about the resurrection, and your reaction will be like one of those that I've read to you and others that I want to tell you about, because it's not a natural thing. How many of you have ever seen anybody raised from the dead? How many of you have heard of anybody raised from the dead that you can verify in the last 2,000 years? And so I'm going to come and tell you about the resurrection of the dead, and you are to embrace it, to open up your heart and say, why, of course, that is true. I understand that. You will never have that reaction unless the Spirit of God works in your heart and reveals it unto you. This is what I found. A week or two back, we had special meetings in Goldsboro, and we had people that come from various assemblies, and we went and we gave out invitations to the meeting. We gave out tracts and papers telling of salvation, and we invited people to come. And with a friend of mine, we visited 170 homes and spoke to them personally or gave them the invitation and the literature, and we hung it on the door. 170 homes. And how many do you think responded? One. And when he came and heard the message, before I could turn around and get to him to speak to him, he had gone out the door and had disappeared. And the others gave out hundreds more invitations, and to my knowledge, there was not one response. We saw occasionally three girls that came, and maybe one here and there. We do not know if it was from those invitations, but let us say close to 1,000 invitations given, and maybe the ones who responded, you could count them on the fingers of one hand. And so Satan indeed is doing his work. He does it two ways. First of all, he prevents it from being preached, and when it is preached, he disregards it, because those like the Sadducees have already made the decision. There is no resurrection of the dead. There is no angel. There is no spirit. This invisible world you are telling me about is unbelievable, and we reject it. We set it aside. That is why, for these two Lord's days, I've been telling you the abundance of importance set upon this doctrine of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it is the only message that the church has to offer to a lost world. Do you understand that? And even though we know what the world is going to do with that message, unless the Spirit of God convicts, Paul said, it's the only message I'm going to preach. He said this, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. We'll stop preaching this foolishness and give them something that is wisdom. He said, I'm only going to preach the cross of Christ. And that is what he determined when he went to Corinth. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Isn't that a strange thing? For him to know that the preaching of the cross is foolishness, and when the Jews hear it, they reject it because they want a sign, and when the Greeks hear it, they reject it because they want wisdom. And the preaching of the cross is neither wisdom nor is it significant. because since Christ went back to heaven and after the first disciples, where have you heard of any authenticated miracles like Paul performed, like Peter performed? You say, well, I hear of them. They cannot be verified. I read a book by a Dr. Nolan. He was a sincere man. And he went and visited all the meetings of these faith healers and asked for the names of those that had professed to be healed. And he is a medical doctor. Went to the home of everyone that was given as a reference, and he did not find one of them that was genuinely healed. And I tell you that not to discourage you, but to show you that the Apostle Paul, knowing all of these things, said, I still have determined not to preach anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why? Because I know this, that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The only thing that's the power of God unto salvation is the gospel. And the gospel is this, the two portions that I brought to your attention, Jesus and the resurrection, Jesus Christ crucified. Think now. Here is a crucified Savior, one who died, and here is the resurrection of that crucified Savior. And this is what Paul said. He said, I make known unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you believe, which you receive. He said, now, the gospel I preach is this. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised again the third day, according to the Scriptures. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins. That is the cross, the preaching of the cross. And that He was buried, and that the third day He rose, according to the Scriptures. That's the preaching of the resurrection. And so Paul, when he says, I am determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that is the death of Christ. And he says, I preach Jesus and the resurrection. That is the counterpart of the death of Jesus Christ. Two things, all that Paul ever knew and all he ever preached. And if you go to a lost world with any message other than that which Paul preached at the first, there is not going to be any success. Because if you go with wisdom, if you go with the understanding of the world, then God says, that is foolishness. The wisdom of men is foolishness in God's sight. And the Lord Jesus said this, when He had preached and performed His greatest miracles, and they did not respond, the Lord Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. And so the only message that you have ever heard me preach here for 40 years is Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. All other doctrines gather together around these two basic truths, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. And however differently men may react to this preaching, Paul never preached anything else. Now, I'm thinking of this, and at times I have wondered when I look at big churches and those that are building bigger churches, and we invite 1,000 people to come out, and maybe 5 come out. How is it that they build these magnificent edifices and can fill it with people? And I was able, visiting 170 homes, to get one. There must be something that they are doing that gets people, but I do not know if it gives them salvation. But they do have a way to get people. But this is what Paul said. He said, when I came to you, I came not using the wisdom of man. I came not with excellency of speech. He said, because I want your faith to stand in the power of God and not in the wisdom of man. And I do not want men to profess to be saved because of some emotionalism that is built up, because of some entertainment that is given, because of the enjoyment of being around where entertainment is going on and celebrities are here, or people can do things that are attractive to me. The Apostle Paul said, that is the very thing that I would reject. He said, the only thing I'm going to tell you is that Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture. Notice, not just that he died, but that he died for your sins according to the Scripture. And his death was on a cross, the offense of the cross, the stumbling block of the cross. And Paul said, I continue to preach it, and I shall never stop preaching it. He said, there are others who preach circumcision. What does that mean? You see, circumcision, baptism, religious observances, why they appeal to man. Look at what I've done, O God. Look at me. Look how I've reformed myself, how I've improved myself. And God looks down upon us and he says with the Apostle Paul, I know that in you, in your flesh, there is no good thing. You were shapen in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. You have nothing to give to me. Anything that you ever become, it is because of what I've done by my grace and by my spirit. But do not tell me anything about yourself and what you have done that will make you acceptable in my sight. You're acceptable because you have trusted my Son, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior, that he died for your sins, that I'm not accepting you because of your righteousness. I am accepting you in spite of the sinner that you are. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm never going to change that message. He wrote a whole epistle concerning some who thought that salvation was Jesus Christ plus. The epistle to the Galatians. He said this, Christ has been made a curse for us. Christ bore the curse for us, because it's written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on the tree. And that is the significance of the death of Christ being preached as crucifixion, the death of the cross. And Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's nothing to glory in. You see, Jesus is not like some of our heroes now that have gone to war and died. But the Lord Jesus has died as a common criminal. He was judged a sinner, and he was crucified. And the Apostle Paul says, that is the Savior that I'm preaching, one that was deemed a criminal. He died not a natural death of old age. It was not an accident, but he was crucified. I'm preaching the cross. Why? Because you have nothing to glory in then. The preaching of the cross crucifies the flesh, and man has nothing to boast in. And the only thing he can preach is this, for by grace have I been saved through faith, and that not of myself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I have no boasting, Father. I only trust in Jesus Christ, who bore my sins on the cross and rose again. And that's the only message that God has. And Paul says, if you preach it, it's foolishness to them that are perishing. And also, these Jews and Greeks that want different messages, the Apostle Paul tells you how foolish, how weak, how impossible it is. But he says, but unto us who are saved, Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. And so with your eyes being opened, Jesus Christ is everything. And unless the Spirit of God opens your eyes, Jesus Christ is nothing. Now listen. At the first, when the Lord Jesus spoke to his very own about the resurrection, he said, I have to die and after 3 days be raised from the dead. It said that Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him and said, Lord, be it far from thee. This shall never be unto thee. Not only did he not grasp the message, but he said, we are not to let it happen. This shall never happen unto you. No suffering for you, Lord. You see what happens when Peter heard the announcement of Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead? He said, why, you are not to be crucified. There's some better way, some better thing in life for you than crucifixion. And the Lord Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Get thee behind me, Satan. And so any message that takes away the death of Jesus Christ and his rising from the dead is satanic. And he says that to one of his chief apostles. Get thee behind me, Satan. Now, thank God for this. That when Martha's brother Lazarus died, and the Lord Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. She was not like the Sadducees. The Sadducees would say, rise again. There's no such thing as the resurrection. But Mary and Martha evidently were Pharisees who believed in the angels and spirits and the resurrection, because she said this, yes, Lord, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But then for the first time, the Lord Jesus showed the source of the resurrection that filled the heart of man with hope. And she said, yes, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Any hope of man rising from the dead is centered in Jesus Christ our Lord, who himself died and was the firstborn from the dead. He was the one that God raised from the dead and exalted to his right hand. Now, I want to put these scriptures together. For the first time, in Matthew 16, the Lord Jesus plainly announces that I have to be put to death and after 3 days rise from the dead. And Peter said, no. And so in the first gospel, Christ preaches his death and resurrection. It's a prophecy is what's going to happen. And I read to you in the last book of the Bible, and now it is not a prophecy, but it is spoken by the man in whom that prophecy was fulfilled. He who said, I have to die and after 3 days be raised from the dead. John sees this exalted, glorified Savior, and he falls at his feet as one dead. And the Savior lays his right hand upon him and he says, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. And he said, I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. And he who announced it first in Matthew 16 now is announcing it as fulfilled in the last book of the Bible. First and last, the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And for that reason, all the promises of God can be fulfilled. And so, why should I expect men to respond, to rush seeking admission into the kingdom of God when I tell them that a man named Jesus has been crucified and raised from the dead? Why? His own disciples didn't understand it. And when he told it to them again, it says these two things. He said, I have to die, I have to be buried, and after 3 days be raised from the dead. And it says when he told them that, his disciples were exceeding sorry, and they did not understand, and they were afraid to ask him. And these are his own disciples, and they do not understand, and they feel sad about Christ's death, but they're afraid to ask an explanation of it. And even when he did die, after he had told them over and over again of his death and resurrection, and when the women came and told that he was raised from the dead, it said he was denied, and they doubted, and they looked at the women and thought that they were out of their mind. And so this is why when you tell people the way of salvation, you have to pray. You have to cry unto God for the Spirit to work in them. And that's why Jesus sent the Spirit from heaven, not only for you, but also for the sake of the lost, to work in them, to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. And most of the time, I have discovered, when I've spoken to men, they either politely listen to you and do nothing, or else they rudely reject what you tell them. In fact, they do some of the things that I shall bring to your attention that we find in the book of Acts. Let me tell you about one, first of all, named Felix. This man was a Roman authority, and Paul was arrested, and he invited Paul to come and speak to him. And Paul came and spoke to him of the three things that you find in John 16, verse 8, about sin and righteousness and judgment, self-control. And it said that when Felix heard those things, he was terrified, and he said, "Go your way. Come again at a more convenient season." Whenever a man is terrified, whenever a man is stirred, and he thinks about the judgment in the life to come, then the Spirit of God is at work in his heart. The sad thing is this, that though the Spirit of God was working in his heart, he was terrified. He said, "Go your way, come again at a more convenient season." How sad. But here is a reaction when Paul preached the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there is another man named Festus, a Roman authority. And he, with other dignitaries, were listening to Paul preach. And Paul's testimony is given the second time in Acts chapter 26. And Paul is telling how a light above the brightness of the sun shined out of heaven upon him. And he tells of his conversion, how Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he tells of all of those things. And then he tells how Jesus sent him to preach the gospel of the grace of God. And Festus, this Roman official, was listening to everything that Paul said. And finally, he could contain himself no longer. And he said, "Paul," he said, "you're insane." He said, "Your much learning is driving you insane. You are mad." And that is what those in a position of authority thought when the power of God was preaching the gospel through the lips of Paul. So what happens? At times the Spirit of God grips a man and he's terrified and he does nothing but says, "Not now." At other times the Spirit of God tries to get into his heart, but he's able to do nothing. And the man looks at you and says, "You are insane, you are mad," talking about some resurrection from the dead. But thank God for this, that in Acts chapter 2, when Peter, on the day of Pentecost, stood up and preached the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you by the hands of sinful men did crucify and slay, whom God raised from the dead. God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And it said, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said, "Men, brethren, what shall we do?" And then the Apostle Peter told them the way of salvation, and they responded, and that day 3,000 souls were saved. You see, at times the gospel is preached and thousands are reached. And again the gospel is preached and people say, "You are insane." Or they get under conviction but say, "Not now, come again at a more convenient season." But whatever the outcome, the Apostle Paul said, "I'm not changing my ways." And this is what the Athenians did. You see, the Athenians and two of those and their followings, the Epicureans and the Stoics, heard the Apostle Paul. And Paul was preaching Jesus and the resurrection, and they said, "Come to Mars Hill, come to the Areopagus, and we want to listen to you there." And Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God there and the resurrection. And it said that when they heard of the resurrection, they mocked. And they said, "We'll hear more about it at a little later time." And so all the wise philosophers of Greece that have their ways, the Epicureans, that mean, why, to live is to enjoy life. That's the only reason for living. Enjoy life. And the Stoics, we endure no pain. Nothing affects us. You see, they had their own philosophies. But the Apostle Paul said, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He will give you a life that you've never understood about. The resurrection of the dead. And it said, they mocked the Apostle Paul. Now, you have heard the gospel of the grace of God this morning. I told you that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. And what is your reaction going to be? It can be mockery. It can be a pronouncement of my being insane. Or it can be one of terror and saying, at a more convenient season. Or else it can be saying, what must I do to be saved? And that is my desire this day, that having heard of Christ crucified and risen again, that you'll trust Him and know all the blessings contained in the gospel of the grace of God. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we confess that apart from Thy Spirit giving us illumination, this preaching of the gospel is foolishness. We've never seen one raised from the dead. We've never seen a man that was sinless, that could die for the sins of another. And yet, our Father, Thou hast told us that this is your wisdom, and this which is weakness is your strength. And we pray that by Thy Spirit, sinners here shall understand that there is a God that loves them, and He sent a Son from heaven to become man, and then to bear their sins in His own body upon the tree. Let them know that Christ was crucified for them, Father, and that He's raised from the dead, and He's coming back to receive them to heaven, those who have trusted Him as Savior. And so by Thy Spirit, do for us, Father, what we cannot do of ourselves. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.